Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Governor in the Central Valley talking to a bunch of Republicans. They've got a big storm up north, and here, if you're traveling, we're going to get some weather, too.
A lot of Southern Californians expected to hit the road for the Thanksgiving holiday, but the weather is likely to make the trip a little bit hazardous. A system is moving into the region tonight. National Weather Service meteorologist Rose Schoenfeld tells us we will see rain over the next several days.
Generally with this first pulse here, that's tonight into tomorrow, we're expecting pretty light stratiform rain with light rain totals overall, especially for LA County.
She says a second pulse or a storm moving in Sunday could dump up to 2 inches early next week. Conditions expected to be worse if you're headed toward Northern California. Doug Shoup is with AAA.
Leave as early as you can, so it reduces your urge to drive faster. You know, if you're running late, you're going to have that urge to kind of speed, and that's a very dangerous thing.
He advises taking winter supplies if you're going into the mountains. Roberto Gomez is with the CHP. He says the first significant rain of the season, well, the roads will be slick.
What we see within those first 2 to 3 hours is just endless calls of spin out, you know, into the wall, into the center divide, into the embankment. And the majority are just solo vehicle collisions. There's people literally just losing control.
Let's talk about that storm up north. A bomb cyclone still pounded NorCal, went through the Pacific Northwest.
A bomb cyclone situation with an atmospheric river component is bringing very heavy rain to the North Bay area of the San Francisco Bay Area and on north towards southern Oregon. That is just one area being impacted. Also, you go up into the Sierra and you're seeing 1 to 4 feet of snow, likely around the Tahoe area. As well.
16 inches of rain in NorCal and southwest Oregon. About 550 flights delayed, dozens canceled yesterday out of San Francisco.
Heads up about going to see the snow in Big Bear. Keep it moving. The San Bernardino Board of Supervisors has approved roadside parking restrictions along some of the streets in Big Bear City. It's going to run through May. People cannot park from 7 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. The San Bernardino Sun says the restrictions come after the CHP raised some concerns about too many cars parked on those narrow streets with no shoulders, and things just kept getting too dangerous.
There's a bunch of tree lighting celebrations in Northeast LA. Might not happen, and there's a fight about why it might not happen. So outgoing Councilmember Kevin De Leon, his office says, we didn't cancel it. We just can't do it. They don't have the authority to extend these contracts that are needed. But the incoming Councilmember Isabel Jurado saying, De Leon office, you're at fault for not planning ahead. You should have been on top of this. Despite it, community members, the local business owners stepping up, trying to do their own thing. Memphis Perez, co-owner of a shop in Lincoln Heights, talking to KCAL News.
We're going to, you know, fight for our Christmas, for the community, and we can make it happen.
Eagle Rock Chamber of Commerce President Michael Noguera says, I'll just do something in my front yard.
Oh, it's all be chairs, yeah. And then this will be open as I've organized getting the hot chocolate donated, like the cookies donated.
They're also going to try and pull one off in Highland Park.
North Tustin in Orange County may soon get its own zip code and a tax break under this bill that's been put forth by Congressmember Young Kim. Right now, North Tustin shares a zip code with Santa Ana and Tustin, which causes confusion, especially when it comes to taxes. Since the area is unincorporated, it also faces higher sales taxes, especially after Santa Ana raised its tax in 2018. Some of the locals argue that the situation is unfair, as they don't benefit from the tax revenue. A resident told the LA Times, if you're buying something at $10 on Amazon, that's not a problem. But if you're buying a $50,000 car, then it is a big deal. If the bill passes, North Tustin's sales tax rate would drop to 7.75%, the county rate instead of Santa Ana's 9.25%.
Governor Newsom in Fresno, in an effort to reach out to voters who supported Donald Trump, announced some plans to create more jobs and address concerns that while the overall economy is doing pretty well, people just aren't feeling it and the cost of living is too high.
Some people talk about this economy is booming, inflation is cooling, lowest unemployment in our lifetimes, lowest black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, lowest unemployment for women, lowest unemployment for people with disability. All that may be true, but people don't feel that way. They feel like the economy is not supportive. They feel like the economy is not nourishing.
Political analyst Larry Gersten says Fresno, good place to test out some strategies, especially if you want to go national.
Fresno County has over 1 million people. It's the 10th largest county in the state. And there's a large number of voters in that county. We know it went Republican. It's an indication that there's not only something wrong for the Democrats, but that it's a good place to test. Test ideas, test to see what will work and what won't work.
More on Newsom's first economic blueprint plan will be released next year. 20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the Injured Workers Hotline.
So, yeah, Matt Gaetz is out, and the new nominee is Pam Bondi. The latest on President-elect Trump's incoming cabinet. Gaetz, of course, withdrew his name from consideration for the attorney general's post after a lot of, well, talk about that and skepticism that it would actually go through. And just hours later, the president-elect named former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi as his selection to lead the Department of Justice, be the next Attorney General. We talked about it this morning with USA Today political correspondent David Jackson and asked him if Bondi will face any hurdles during the confirmation process.
Actually, I think it might be easy because the Republicans who are adamant against Gaetz are already praising Pam Bondi, and they're talking with a sense of relief. I feel like it'll be a much easier confirmation process than it would have been under Gaetz.
Some of the Dems on a cable panel I was watching last night were even going, okay, you know what? Fine. We know her. She kind of turned MAGA. But the quote that stuck out to me was, she's not a rule breaker.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing against her was about 10 years ago when she was AG, her office dropped an investigation of Trump University. And then lo and behold, Trump's people gave her a big campaign contribution several months later. So that kerfuffle will likely come up, but it's already been adjudicated. No one was ever accused of anything. So but other than that, I don't know of anything that could actually block her nomination.
I love the word kerfuffle, so extra points to you for using that this morning. Thank you.
A lot of kerfuffles in Trump's Washington.
Well, that brings me to Pete Hegseth. How's that going to work out?
Well, I think he's probably next on the griddle. There are an awful lot of rumors about him. He's pretty much an unknown. He's never been in government. And, you know, they didn't go through the official vetting process for any of these candidates. Now, that's one thing for a guy like Gaetz because we all know him and people know about all the controversies he's been in. Same thing with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But a lot of people don't know about the private life of Pete Hegseth, and we're starting to learn some things that are going to be problems for him down the line.
Do you think he's out before he even gets to the hearing, or is this one of those situations where, hey, maybe the Republicans could get one out before it actually goes before him, and then you've always kind of got one you can turn out and run out of town when they come up before the panel and say, no, I want somebody else. So maybe they've still got some ammunition if they don't like Pete Hegseth.
Correct, yeah. Now, the theory always was that the Republicans aren't going to reject all of these Trump nominees. Some of them they're going to get through. And for a while there, the betting on Hegseth was pretty good. But, you know, now that Gaetz has pulled out and that situation has been resolved, now the attention is going to turn to Hegseth. And he's got some critics within the military, and they know how to play the game. And there are some Republican senators who have concerns about Hegseth's nomination, too. He doesn't have any experience in government. And he's said and written some things that are highly questionable. And we've got this allegation from this woman in Monterey, incident in Monterey, California. It was something people didn't even know about until after he was nominated. And there's fear that there are going to be more situations that are going to arise here pretty quickly.
That is USA Today political correspondent David Jackson. Too much weed making some people sick. And we'll look at the big crosstown college football rivalry match coming up tomorrow. As 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
There's a judge in New York and will decide whether Sean Diddy Combs will be released on bail. Third hearing on this after the defense team claimed his rights were violated when his notes, private notes, were taken out of his cell during a sweep. Combs is offering to pay $50 million for monitoring if he's allowed to get out. Prosecutors argue he shouldn't be trusted outside. More from Loyola law professor Lori Levinson, former federal prosecutor.
They'll also point to the seriousness of the charges. The judge can look at this case and decide whether in fact Combs is a danger, whether he is a flight risk, and whether even the $50 million will guarantee his appearance at this proceeding.
The defense plans to bring in some forensic video analysts. The judge has already ruled that the handwritten notes can't be used in the decision because of concerns over attorney-client privilege. Despite that, the prosecutors argue other evidence, including some video footage they've got, is enough to keep him inside.
More people who smoke a lot of weed are ending up in the hospital. Here's Emily Valdez.
The symptoms are bouts of throwing up, stomach pain, and the desire to take a hot bath or shower to get rid of the symptoms.
Continue to see a fair amount of it, despite a lot of educational efforts to try to educate the public about it.
Dr. Sam Turbati is the medical director of Cedars-Sinai's emergency department.
So people sometimes don't put two and two together, and often patients don't volunteer their cannabis use history.
Turbati says it doesn't happen to everyone who smokes a large amount of weed, but when it does happen, it can be debilitating.
And sometimes the symptoms are so severe that they end up in the emergency department very, very ill. I just saw a patient yesterday who was very sick presenting with it.
He says the only way to stop it, stop using pot. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Michael George now with a toll that substance abuse has taken on families and friends.
Drug and alcohol abuse has far more victims than just the people using them. A report in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs found nearly 160 million Americans say they've been harmed by someone else's substance use. The effects range from marriage and family problems to financial issues, being assaulted, or being injured in a drunk driving accident.
They're saying 113 million hurt by a loved one's drinking, 46 million by drug abuse.
Some grocery stores out there have signs that say they're out of eggs, partly because of the bird flu. It's been around since 2022, spreading across the U.S., affected millions of birds, and that's led to a drop in egg production. But it's not just the bird flu. Some stores, like Trader Joe's, are having supply issues because they are switching to cage-free only eggs, and it's causing a temporary shortage. Shoppers at Whole Foods Market locations have also reported egg shortages, but it's because they have trouble sourcing eggs that meet high egg standards. And as I was saying earlier, I went to Trader Joe's yesterday and got a couple dozen. Just picked
that's
up a couple dozen.
That's where all of them went. You took them.
To my fridge.
Rivalry week, USC taking on UCLA. Yep, Rose Bowl game tomorrow night. A lot on the line for both teams. And yeah, the statues are all protected by the students, right? We were talking about that earlier this week. Trojans coming off a win over Nebraska. Bruins lost their last game to Washington. USC comes in 5-5, UCLA 4-6 on the season. Bruins coach Deshaun Foster was a star running back for UCLA, recruited as a defensive back by SC. First time the schools play each other as members of the Big Ten. We talked to USCFootball.com's Ryan Abraham.
Deshaun Foster knows how important this rivalry is, so it's going to be a big one there. And getting the win, I think it helps UCLA, you know, try to make a bowl game. USC would still have an outside shot, but I think it's important for both sides. You'd like to have more on the line than just fighting for postseason eligibility, but it's a big game in the city, and I think, you know, for both sides, they're going to take this one seriously.
USC leads the series over UCLA 50-34-7, dating back to 1929. You can listen to the game over on 1070. Pregame starts at 5:30, kickoff at 7:30.
A female LAPD helicopter pilot has settled her lawsuit against the city. Art Sanders tells us she said she endured gender and disability discrimination by supervisors who called her emotional and incompetent.
Working for the LAPD since 1997, she made her way up to command pilot. Soon after Sarah Morin was assigned to a female supervisor, her suit says she began to get singled out with unfair criticism, saying she was distracted, overly emotional, and incompetent to perform her duties as a pilot based on nothing more than obvious sex stereotypes. Morin became temporarily disabled in 2021 after a neck injury, common among pilots. After recovering, she was transferred. A male special flights pilot also was on leave for the same injury and was not transferred. Trial has been canceled. The court says the case has been resolved with no terms divulged. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
All right, some people are calling it Glicked. We prefer Wickedator. I think we have the better name for this combo with the movies. We got Gladiator 2 and we got Wicked.
Uh-huh.
So they're thinking, is it going to be another Barbenheimer? This is why we're doing the combining, right? So Denzel Washington and a whole bunch of other stars are in Gladiator 2, and then you know about Wicked. So let's talk with our award-winning movie critic, Scott Mance.
Hi, Scott. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. I was really hoping you'd be reaching out to me because this is the biggest weekend at the movies since Barbenheimer back on July 21st, 2023. So now you have Glad of Wicked, Wickedator, Wicked, whatever you want to call it. It is going to be big. So, Mike and Vicky, I did the numbers. So, Barbie opened with $162 million domestic back on July 21st, 23. And Wicked, which is kind of its counterpart, is looking to open between $130 and $140 million domestic. It'll probably be much higher. And then there is Oppenheimer, which opened with $83 million domestic last year. And Gladiator 2, which is sort of the, you know, male-driven counterpart here, is looking to open at about $75 million plus. So the openings are very similar. And just like with Barbenheimer, the projections for Wickedator are a little on the low side. I think both of these movies are going to be huge this weekend. And the beauty, Mike and Vicky, is this. They are both great. I got to tell you, I never saw Wicked on Broadway. I never read the book. But I loved this movie, and it's only part one. It is everything a movie should be. It's a rousing, exhilarating, spellbinding, magical movie with great music, great production values, Oscar-worthy performances from Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. The movie's definitely going to have a banner day at the Golden Globes. And then there's Gladiator 2. How do you follow an Oscar-winning Best Picture from almost 25 years ago without Russell Crowe in the movie? Well, you bring back Ridley Scott to direct. 86 years old, he's still at the top of his game with his best movie since The Martian. Again, great scope, production values, great action. It's a really action-packed movie. And Paul Mescal, who's the new Gladiator, really holds his own, has very big sandals to fill.
Well, he's super popular right now, right? I mean, everyone follows him around. Like, he can't go on the street without a bunch of fans. But people are also talking about, like, this is the best, and Denzel's always good, right? But this is, like, new caliber for him.
For sure, Mike, because, you know, Denzel Washington, he's really good at playing the baddie. And remember, he won an Academy Award for playing the baddie in Training Day back in 2001. But he steals the movie, and he's terrific. It's his best performance, I would say, since Flight came out back in 2012. Both of these movies are great. And just like with Barbenheimer, you got a sequel now with Wickedator. Both of these movies are really going to capitalize on each other. And then next weekend, you have Moana 2 opening. That's going to add to this banner box office. You know, we really are back for the first time since before the lockdown. I really think that the movies and the box office are really, really back with this huge turnout with all these movies going into the holiday season.
Vicky's dressed as one of the witches. Guess which one?
Oh, come on. Galinda. It's got to be Galinda.
The Good Witch. Yeah.